Well, it's week three of the election campaign. We're almost at the halfway point, and here in Wannon we now have seven candidates who are vying to be our local member. There's been a lot of discussion already on the radio and in the papers. Much of that discussion has been fairly routine, I think we can say, so I thought we'd try something a little bit different this morning. Over the past few weeks, we have been talking with some of the students from Warrnambool College about issues that they've been discussing in the classroom, and this morning I've invited three of them to come up with some questions for two of our candidates. Dave Clift is a teacher at Warrnambool College, who we've met several times. Dave, good morning once again.
How are you going, Jeremy?
Very well, thanks.
Good.
Now, when we floated this idea, you had quite a few students who were very keen to take part.
Absolutely. Half our class wanted to be here this morning, but the studio's a little bit too small for having 11 students in here, so we had three that have come down this morning, had to vie for that by writing me some persuasive arguments as to why they should be here.
Okay, so what sort of arguments were you presented with then, and how did you choose?
I think, hopefully that we've got Beck, the leader, and Matt here. We'll introduce them in just a second, but they were suggesting that they aren't going to... they're going to make sure when they ask the questions are answered. They're used to hearing politicians not answer questions, so they're looking forward to hearing answers today, not a series of questions to answer their questions.
Right.
And apparently their parents would vie for the fact they're quite argumentative and persuasive at home, so that's another reason why they're here today.
I can tell our two candidates are sweating already with
Good.
What they're about to face here this morning. I'll get you to introduce our three students for us then.
Sure. So we've got Beck, who we had a couple of weeks ago.
Hi.
Lolita.
Hello.
And Matt.
Hi.
All right, so we'll get to you guys shortly then to begin the interrogation, as it were. We should meet our candidates as well this morning, and the two people who we've invited in to answer questions are Dan Tehan, who is the current sitting member, of course, for the seat of Wannon, and the Liberal candidate. Dan, good morning to you.
Morning, Jeremy. How are you? It's
very
great
well.
Great to be here, and this is fantastic to see the kids here who are going to ask us the questions. I was at Warrnambool College on Friday night for their debutante ball.
Oh, okay.
I had a terrific night there, and there was some... wonderful students presenting for their debs, and they all were talking about what their futures may or may not hold, and real diversity of what they might like to do and where they'd like to go. It was a fantastic evening.
Very good. Michael Barling is also here. Michael is the Labor candidate for Wannon. Michael Barling, good morning to you.
Morning, Jeremy. Morning, everyone. Dan's sounding very calm. I don't think he quite understands the difficult position he's currently in. He's got 3 years, seven kids who are about to grill him. He may not be nervous, I am.
Well, look, before we hear from the students, I might just ask you both, in your experience perhaps with this campaign so far, or just in general, I don't know if you want to go first, Dan, do you find that younger people are as engaged in politics as they once may have been?
I think they are. I think our young students today are as engaged as they've ever been. Very interested, I think, especially with social media, they stay attuned. I've had a new expression given to me that I had no idea about, which is a photo bomb.
Right.
And that was told to me. So when Kevin Rudd was having a photo taken with some students, a student photobombed it by sort of making a funny facial expression behind him. So that's new to me. And I also know that the Liberal candidate for Greenway, his six-point plan to stop the boats has also been a bit of a hit amongst the younger generation following this campaign. Mm. So I think they are engaged. I think they follow it now through different mediums than they used to. But they're obviously extremely interested. I think the fact that we've got three keen students here today, and there were 11 who were keen to come, just demonstrates that.
Yeah. What about for you, Michael? I mean, I imagine part of the campaign is, or part of your aim, of course, is to talk to people who are going to vote for you potentially. And the three students we have here today, sadly, not able to vote yet. But I don't know. Obviously, these are issues, and there are thoughts here which are worth addressing and hearing.
Oh, there's no question about that, Jeremy. Look, I spend a lot of my time teaching senior students, and the observation that young people are engaged in politics isn't a new observation for me. I mean, we see our young people very much engaged, not just in politics, but in society. So they think about a broad range of issues when it comes to the environment, the way we live, how families work. All those sorts of things are important for young people, and they do think about that sort of stuff. Dan's point's correct. Social media is a huge source for young people for their information and their ideas. When we were that age, it was newspapers. Well, the information is much broader for young people now.
Mm. All right, Dan Tehan, Michael Barling, our two candidates. Matt, Lolita and Beck are our students. Dave, you mentioned there are some ground rules.
Yes, we're cognizant of the fact that when we do have discussions and debates, it's important to establish some rules before we start. So I'll get the students to read out them in turn. We've got four that we'd like to establish this morning for our two candidates.
It's just like Q&A, isn't it? All right, who would like to give us the rules?
Rule number one, the leader.
Only speak about yourself and your political party. Don't need to make references to the others, as they will speak for themselves.
Only refer to policies and actions now and into the future. We're only 13 and we don't need to know what happened 6 years ago.
Answer the question. Don't change the subject mid-answer.
And the last one, and this is something we learn in prep, is that we take it in turns. We don't talk over the top of each other. Right. Although the students may need to interject if any of the three rules have been broken.
Right. Gosh, I'm sure we're going to be all very civil this morning, so we'll be right. Okay. Well, look, we're going to begin with some questions about the environment. And Matt, do you want to sort of give us a bit of a background to the questions that you're about to ask?
Yes, the intro we wrote was, this is where we live. Our future is in the hands of the environment. We rely on the environment itself. It is the only thing we can rely on. The environment is important to us because it's our future. We are destroying the environment.
Okay, so that's a fairly strong statement, I guess, to start us off. Now, what questions have you come up with in relation to that, then? Do you want to fire the first question?
The first question is, do you want life to continue?
Okay, that's a big question. Dan, would you like to go first?
Yes, Jeremy, it's a very good question, and yes, I do. And I think that the coalition does as well. The environment is obviously crucial. That's it's what we live in, it's what sustains us, and we have to make sure that it continues for the future. But we have to do that in a balanced way, and we have to make sure that we can keep our economy strong, because that helps us then look after our environment and do all the necessary things that we need. At a practical level, for instance, at home, we have just been through last autumn planting more trees at our home so that we can do our little bit. And I think that's often where you should start when it comes to the environment, with what you can do at home. And then I think we have to move to the community stage and look at what we can do there. And our direct action plan on the environment will do that. The coalition is very determined to make sure that we reduce carbon emissions through that direct action plan. We also support the renewable energy target, which is have 20% of our electricity coming from renewable sources by 2020. And we're also going to set up a green army, and that is to encourage young students when they leave school to do their bit for the environment, so that they can go out and through their actions show that they care about the planet, that they care about their local environment and do something about it. So that green army policy is one I would encourage you to have a look at, because in 3 or 4 years' time, if it's up and running, it's something that you will be able to contribute to.
All right. Michael.
Thanks, Jeremy. It's a terrific question, Matt. When I think about the environment, I don't necessarily think about what we do now in terms of using the environment. I think about what is it that we leave behind for the young people that are coming through. And I think it's really important for us to make sure we leave behind something that you guys are able to work with and adapt to. The thing that I'm really, really optimistic about is that young people are going to be able to find terrific ways to manage our environment in the future. So our job as adults is to be stewards of the environment, so to make sure that we do leave you with something. One of the things that my party works on is looking at the idea of saying, all right, how do we balance the economy and the environment by coming up with new types of technology? And that's why renewable energy is really, really important to the Labor Party. We think that we can get a balance between economic development and high standards of living, as well as caring for the environment, by coming up with new ways to provide energy in our homes. So that means things like wave power or solar power or wind technology, all those types of things which we're trying to put in place now, which you guys will develop even further as you guys become adults and you guys start to make your contribution to the environment. We're really conscious of the idea that young people are sensitive to the environment and they're very aware of the environment. And we want to make sure, across all parties want to do this, all parties want to make sure that we do leave you with an environment that you can live with and live in and progress with in the future.
All right. We might keep moving through the questions, because we've got a few areas that we do want to get to, and we want to get through all the questions if we can. Lolita, you're next.
Yeah. Well, we think that there should be lots more entertainment available in Warrnambool, especially for teenagers. There should also be more free outdoor opportunities for people of all age groups. We think that it's important to Generation Z because it allows them to have more of an open mind and be able to participate in more community events. If we don't have enough entertainment around Warrnambool and small cities like Warrnambool all over Australia, then young people come withdrawn and this can affect their mental health and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. What questions would you like to ask then about entertainment?
What sort of funding will be committing towards entertainment for young people?
Okay.
Let's make this a bit of a debate because I'd like to ask you... when it comes to these type of questions, we shouldn't rely on government to do everything for us. And obviously we've got local government, we've got state government, and we've got the federal government. And when it comes to providing entertainment in every community across Australia, this is not something that that the federal government is likely to do for every community. What we would hope to do is to be able to have our young people with the energy and the ideas to look at doing it themselves and to put forward approaches and ideas. So, I mean, what sort of entertainment would you three like to see, and how would you like to go about trying to achieve that? You know, have you got plans to maybe form a committee to say, look, you know, let's put on some open air plays on a weekend or something like that? That's what we want to hope our communities will do, that it's not government that's sort of providing the solutions, but we're empowering communities or schools to come up with these ideas and then to have the energy and the get up and go to do it themselves. So I'd like to throw this one back to you three.
Any thoughts off the top of your heads, perhaps, Lolita, about things that you might like to have around here? Or
yeah, like, you know, we have like Winter and, you know, Port Fairy Folk Festival and all that sort of stuff, but there's not really much live music and all that sort of, you know, entertainment stuff that you can go on to and watch at the weekends and all that.
Mm-hmm. Particularly for this age group, 13-year-olds, you know, can't go out to the live music events that are generally speaking for over 18-year-olds. So there's that, and there's a gap between fun for kids and that's secondary scale audience.
I mean, I suppose it does highlight that it is a very difficult age group in a lot of ways. Mm. And look, Michael, I don't know if you want to sort of pick up on this as well.
Actually, well, look, both Dan and I have got young. Well, I suppose my family's a little older now, and I have had some experience with, you know, keeping teenagers occupied. The best people at keeping teenagers occupied are teenagers. Now, my three sons are now 18, 20 and 20, 21 and 23. They love their music when they were growing up. So they would look for opportunities where they could do things in terms of start up their own bands, get organised to play at gigs like Battle for the Bands or Freezers and things like that. So, look, in this sense, I agree with Dan. You don't want people telling you what your fund should be. It's really important that you guys sort of think about what is going to be good fun for us and what is going to help us make a contribution, what is going to help us, you know, develop our own skills and qualities. Now, governments can put things in place. The Labor government has put in a live music policy, Live Music Australia, I think it's called, which encourages young people to get involved with music and that sort of thing. You see those sorts of programs at school as well. I know the three schools across Warrnambool have been involved with Cool Schools at Emmanuel College, where all these young people put their bands together, they go down to Melbourne, they record their music, they release their own CD, all those sorts of things. But it's essentially based on the initiative of young people to say, well, this is where we want to direct our energies. And I don't think you should let too many people tell you where your energy should be directed. You guys are really good at coming up with creative, impressive, energetic ways to do things. And you know, I think you need to back yourself in a little to be able to do that. Mm. We get terrific results when you guys do that sort of thing. We'll certainly help. I know as parents, we encourage our kids with all that sort of stuff. And as a community, we want to see that sort of thing happen as well.
We might move on to Beck here on ABC Southwest Victoria. We have three students from Warrnambool College. We've got Beck, we've got Lolita, we've got Matt. We also have two candidates, Dan Tehan and Michael Barling, and also Dave Cliff from Warrnambool College as well. Our students are asking questions of our candidates. Technology is our next topic, Beck.
We believe that technology can be a very important thing in today's society. We use technology to work, play, communicate and research. If the government used this properly, we can go places where no one has ever been before. Generation Z is advancing in technology as it is being the latest generation. We can use it for social media and we are using it more and more in schools. Generation Z feels the need to communicate with everyone straight away, and with the new technology it can expand out and improve our knowledge and the next generation. So, how do you expect to expand the knowledge and the use of technology in Generation Z?
All right, Michael Barling, would you like to go first?
I suppose this is going to bring up a fairly controversial topic in terms of the national broadband network. And without getting into arguments about which approach is better or whatever, let me just say I think something like the national broadband network is really important because it puts in place a capability for you guys to come up with ways in which you'll use technology. So, look, I understand the underpinnings of the national broadband network. So we put in place all this infrastructure and all this wiring and all these bits and pieces. But what you guys do with that, that's going to be astounding. So we put this technology in place and you guys are going to come up with ways to use that technology in the future. So you'll come up with new ways of working. You'll come up with new ways of communicating through education. You'll come up with new ways of bringing communities closer together, even though they'll be hundreds of kilometres apart. Now, I don't quite know how that's going to work from your perspective yet, but that's one of the most exciting things about this type of technology. We put this in place and you'll help it meet its potential. And I think that's a really, really exciting thing.
All right, Dan Tien.
Yeah, look, Jeremy, I agree with Michael. I think, you know, what we'd probably disagree on this issue is how you go about doing it. I mean, we obviously have a policy where we want to make sure that in country areas you have the broadband speeds that they enjoy in city areas. We also want to make sure you have the access to mobile telecommunications as well, in the same way that people in the city have access to mobile telecommunications. And it is the empowering technology of the 21st century. It is very much part of the globalised world that we operate in. It is making communities across the globe smaller and smaller, and the interaction that it will enable you as students to have not only with classrooms around Australia, but you can also have interaction with classrooms around the globe. So it is an absolute crucial element to where Australia will be at the end of this century. We have to get the technology right, we have to get the delivery of it right, and we have to ensure especially that we get the technology delivery into our regional and rural communities correct. And you know, the thing that I will be pushing for in the next 2 or 3 years is to make sure that regional and rural Australia gets its fair share when it comes to this, that we get the delivery in the areas where we're being left behind, and that should be the priority, not delivering it in areas where they already have the technology.
Matt, the leader, and Beck, thank you for your questions and thoughtfulness today. Do you feel that you've had your questions answered? Do you feel that you've, you know, heard what you wanted to hear, perhaps, or found out what you wanted to hear?
Most of them.
That's pretty good, I'd say.
That's a good political answer, actually. But
look, I must say, one thing that struck me hearing you both talk is the amount of agreement in the room as well, which I guess, I don't know, highlights perhaps the current sort of state of Australian politics to some degree. I don't know if there's a difficulty or what.
Well, Jeremy, it's one of the interesting things. I mean, the type of questions and the format of the debate is very much often how we operate behind the scenes, whether it be in committee work and things like that, where you do get a lot of cross-party cooperation and work. Most of the thing that gets highlighted from the parliament is question time. And that is the bit where the rubber hits the road and you get the questioning and you get much more of the party politics. And that's what tends to get played up rather than all the work that goes on often behind the scenes, where there is a lot of cooperation and a lot of agreement on ideas.
Right. Yeah, indeed. Dan, Tien, thank you very much to you for coming in today.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Michael Barling, thank you to you as well.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, everyone.
I don't know if you two have found it a useful exercise as well, or if you've been asked questions you haven't been asked so far on this.
Look, I think it's probably tougher than Lee Sales having these three. But it's always terrific to be able to talk to young people and engage with this sort of stuff at this level. Indeed. Thanks, kids. It's a great opportunity for us.
All right.
Yeah, I just want to say before we go, too, I guess I'd challenge whoever is a successful candidate for Wanted to perhaps to have some sort of youth council that they could, you've talked about having the ability to, for young people to have ideas, to then generate those ideas through government, to have a youth council that young people could be involved in so that they can have a direct avenue to either of you two who is successful in the upcoming election.
Well, maybe on behalf of Michael, if I could say this, maybe we could challenge you, Dave, to set up a youth council, and then we've got a forum to be able to come and do it, because I think one of the key things I'd like to leave is, you know, you can empower yourselves and through your own actions and what you do. So if you did that, then I'm sure, you know, whether it's Michael, whether it's me, whether it's any other candidate who ultimately is successful, we'd love to then use it.
Done.
Excellent, an outcome. Dan, Michael, thanks again. Dave, thanks to you as well. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time with some more students.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone.
Cheers.
Thank you.